Open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 2. I'd like for us to look at verses 8 through 18 this morning. Follow along in your Bible as I read Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The words of the prophets had been waiting fulfillment for centuries. According to the calculations of Daniel's prophecies, 483 years would mark the first coming of Messiah. That time was almost at hand. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, the anointed one of God entered into the realm of space and time. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That one who is eternal, that one who made everything, entered in to creation as one of his own creations. He became a creature, a little baby. There were those of the religious scholars who were once aware of Daniel's timetable, and they were expecting the arrival of a promised one. However, they expected a triumphant, glorious entry with great power to overcome their oppressors, to reign in majesty over the nation of Israel. At this point, they just wanted to see Rome fall. But in fact, the perfect fulfillment of that triumphal entry occurred at precisely the right time, according to prophecy, several years later when Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem just a week before his crucifixion. Perfect timing and perfect fulfillment, but in God's way, not in man's thinking. The error of so many in that day was their expectation of one who would come and deliver them from earthly oppression. They failed to understand that his coming was to deliver all of us from the bondage of sin by becoming the perfect atoning sacrifice for that sin. This deliverance was meant for everyone. It was not meant just for the rich. It was not just meant for the religious elite. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Really, if we understand that, what he was saying when he later on in his adult life, when he said, "I came to seek and to save the lost," he's saying, "I came to seek and to save those who know they're lost." Because the religious elite of his day didn't think they were lost. Jesus came to this earth in a way that would indicate that he loved all people, including the lowest and the poorest of people. So Jesus, of course, was not born in a palace, but he was born in a cave where animals were kept. He was laid in a feeding trough used for sheep and cattle. The circumstances surrounding his birth could not have been any lowlier than that. To further drive home the point that Jesus had come to reach all people, including those considered by society to be the lowest in the order of importance, angels were sent by God to a nearby hillside to announce the birth of Christ. Shepherds were invited to Bethlehem to see the newborn Savior. The first to be invited were not kings. They were not presidents. They were not important government officials of any kind. In fact, those first ones to be invited weren't even religious leaders. Instead, God sent a special delegation of angels to invite the common workers of society, those in that day who would have been ceremonially unclean most of the time because of the work that they did. Some might think that today's equivalent to the shepherds would be maybe factory workers or farmers, those of the blue-collar class. But in reality, I think these shepherds would be a closer equivalent to our modern-day minimum wage earners, those that might be working in a fast food restaurant or a retail store at a mall. Imagine that, angels showing up at McDonald's to let the workers at McDonald's know that the Savior has been born. That would be today's equivalent. Why? Because God was sending a message that the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has come for everyone. No one is turned away because they come from the wrong side of town. No one is turned away because they lack an education. No one is turned away because they work for minimum wage or because they don't even have a job or a place to live. We have the promise of God's word that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Imagine being with those shepherds on such a miraculous night. This morning, I want for us to consider three things about that event that we see here in Luke chapter 2. The first one that I want us to consider is the nighttime itself. Look at verse 8 again. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. The first announcement of Christ's birth was at nighttime. I think the indication of the text here is that Jesus was born at night, or at least late in the evening. And I think that this announcement to the shepherds occurred at the moment when Jesus was born. Can you imagine these angels who've been assigned to make this announcement, just waiting for that moment? How exciting that must have been for those angels, being told, here's your assignment. When Jesus is born, when your Lord enters into this time, into space and time, to be the Savior of humans, your job will be to go and announce to some shepherds that he has been born. Those angels had to be thrilled with that assignment, I think, and excited to wait for just that moment. And then when that moment came and they're told he has been born, they light up the sky. I'm sure they were quite aware of what it probably meant for those shepherds initially. But it's appropriate that Jesus Christ the Redeemer was born at night. Why? Because the world was in spiritual darkness. Christ was born to deliver people from the darkness of sin. Romans chapter 13 tells us, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because Jesus came, we can have victory over the power of sin in our lives. His birth that night was the beginning of what would doom the powers of darkness. We read these words in Ephesians chapter 6, words that are given to us as believers in Jesus Christ, words that can be given to us because Jesus came. It says in Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The reason we have all of this spiritual armor to put on, the reason we can take a stand against the powers of darkness, the reason we can extinguish the flaming arrows that are fired at us by Satan and his evil forces, the reason we can pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and have confidence that God hears us is because Jesus was born on that night long ago. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Without his birth, we do not have his sacrifice. What did night mean to shepherds? Well, nighttime was a time of weariness, but it's also a time of worry when you're shepherds. We have electric lights now and all sorts of other modern amenities available to us to help us at nighttime. They didn't have any of that. It was a time of uncertainty, not knowing what might happen while they slept. They likely would take turns sleeping so that some of them would be awake at all times to watch over the sheep, because nighttime is a time when it would be hard to see the sheep and to make sure that they're all protected. They worked hard day after day and night after night, ensuring the safety of their sheep. And then suddenly, the angelic announcement of salvation changes everything. In a moment, they go from night to light. And that is our second consideration this morning, the light that shone. Verse 9, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." The darkness in their lives is suddenly washed away by the brilliance of angelic light, but it was more than that. It was the message that the angel delivered to them that gave them hope of never having to have darkness in their hearts ever again. The angel told them that a Savior was born. Messiah was born. This is the announcement of the promised deliverer, the one that the Jewish people had been looking for all along. This is the one who came to free us from sin and oppression. Jesus Christ alone is the one who can take us from that kind of darkness to light. The first words of creation were, "Let there be light." Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Gospel of John tells us, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The one who lay in the manger that night in Bethlehem would one day be the one that would say, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says that Christ came to call us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We see light as the theme from the beginning to end in Scripture. In fact, when you come to Revelation and you see the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth, what is no longer there? Darkness. Nighttime's gone. It's daytime. It's light all the time. Why? Because Jesus is the true light. And we will be present with him in that new creation for all of eternity. But when the angel appeared, it says that the shepherds were terrified. That's our third consideration, and that's their fear. You see it there again in verse 9. Isaiah wrote this: I also saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he could fly. One cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. A terrifying scene for Isaiah to see that. Probably the same kind of terror, the same kind of fear that these shepherds felt initially upon the appearance of the angels. We have a nice picture there, but I'm not so sure it was that easy as what we depict in our pictures. When you consider the description that Isaiah gives of these angels, each with six wings, I'm not sure what the shepherds saw that night, but it had to have been something really amazing. The light of God reveals his holiness. But here's the thing about the revelation of God's holiness: that reveals our sinfulness. God is full of mercy and grace, and when we tremble in fear at the revelation of his holiness, he always, always sends the message of comfort: do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. To you is born a Savior. We can see those words, fear not, all the way through Scripture. We need those words, fear not. We need to be reminded that although God is holy and we are unholy, God is grace and God is mercy and God is love. And God sent us a Savior. The light of God was not revealed to condemn us. We're already lost in the darkness of sin. Jesus came into the world as a light to bring us salvation. In fact, he told that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said that the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Faith eliminates fear, because faith brings forgiveness. If your faith this morning is in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that you need to fear, not even death itself, because you are safe in Jesus. Faith was turned to sight for the shepherds. They went to Bethlehem and they found their promised Savior. And after seeing Jesus, they became the first missionaries. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, after seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Imagine these shepherds going around telling everyone, we have actually seen the Messiah. He was born in a cave to a poor couple, but we know he's the Messiah. We know he's our promised deliverer. We know he's our Savior. There's a whole bunch of angels showed up and told us so. As we meditate on this story at this time of year, may our response be the same as the shepherds. We should make known the hope of eternal salvation to everyone we meet. That salvation that is found only in Jesus the Savior, Christ the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for these few moments that we could take to be reminded of this. This story that we review every year at this time, but that we need to review over and over again. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to be our Savior. May we be as bold as those shepherds. May we be as excited as those shepherds. May we never lose our enthusiasm for the gospel of your grace found in Christ Jesus alone. We thank you and praise you in his precious and powerful name. Amen.